First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome, everyone. I'm Karen Cataline, not Alan Nathan. Alan Nathan is on assignment, and when I am available, I love doing the Alan Nathan Show as part of the team here at the Main Street Radio Network. And before we get to our guest, it is my pleasure to remind you of Alan Nathan's motto, which is, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We are pleased to start off the program with Michael Letts. We know him so well. He's a friend of the show. CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal for community service, has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, and is currently chaplain with several agencies, as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Michael Letts, great to talk to you. It's been a little while. Good to have you on.
It's always a privilege to talk to you, Karen. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, of course. Unfortunately, when we have you on, there are usually atrocious, terrible crimes that continue to happen, although we are glad that we have a law and order president who's cracking down, but my goodness, there's a whole group of people who belong to a party who seem to be pro-criminal and not pro-victim. Just recently, the Michigan Walmart stabbing spree, the suspect was identified. Police investigate possible terrorism link. What do you know about this case, and what do we need to know about the level of violence that is going on in America right now?
Well, quite frankly, Karen, here's where we stand. You know, let's go back, step back a couple steps. And just end of last year and into the Biden administration towards the end, we had identified that there were over 100 terrorist cells throughout the country, more than 100, 120, as I recall. And quite frankly, we knew that they were just waiting for the opportunity to become more engaged. We've been cracking down ever since Trump took over. However, they have been given the green light from the Ayman's and all to create as much terror on America as horrible as possible. So we're beginning to see that. It's no surprise that what happened in Walmart, it is a surprise that it took a little bit of time to bring the assailant down. You know, Michigan is really a very difficult place sometimes to operate with self-defense, with your Second Amendment rights and all. Now, I think this should be a wake-up call across the country. You need to understand that there have been terrorist cells planted in this country. They're being activated now. We're beginning to see them rise. You cannot have a cop standing next to you all day long. And so if you're going to be able to protect you, your family, your loved ones, you need to make sure you're armed and able to do so.
Yeah, you said, I just want to go back to something you said. You said they've been given the green light by, did you identify who they were given the green light by?
the Imams, you know, which is, you know, the
Ayatollahs.
Yeah, not just the Ayatollahs, but what's interesting, of course, we just had this story outbreak yesterday. We've known about it for a little while. They're now preaching in the Muslim mosque that there's no way that the Muslims can coexist with American citizens because of our Christianity background and foundations. And quite frankly, they think we're all infidels and worthy of death, according to Allah. So they made it abundantly clear they're not going to integrate. They're going to try to dominate. So we need to make sure that we're prepared to do that and deal aggressively with it. And it's time that we step up to the plate and quit trying to be politically correct, Karen, and try to make sure we protect and save our American citizens.
Yes, and boy, there's so many directions to go with this. We've been indoctrinated to on the one hand, supposedly Democrats have been against bigotry. They certainly are okay with bigotry against Jews. They love Jew hatred.
Correct.
But if you can claim victimhood, which is why after October 7th, on October 8th, Iran and its people were in college campuses trying to change and flip the narrative and turn Israel into the bad guy and Iran and Hamas into the good guy. And unfortunately, with lots of money, that happened. I'd like you to comment on the use of mass immigration, not just to get votes, as has been alleged and well documented in America, but using mass immigration as human proxies into changing the culture of Western civilization. It's a really big issue, but I think you can tackle it.
Well, let's talk about the examples that we're experiencing now in this country. You have the Democratic primary mayoral candidate in New York City, Minneapolis. We have one in Arizona. There's one in Dallas. And quite frankly, here's what's interesting. Their philosophy, okay, not ideology, their philosophy is communism. They espouse that. I mean, they quote it from the book. You know, we've got laws in this country that if you push communism, you can be deported. You can be, your American citizenship can be revoked, okay? That's been on the books for decades. But how do they wrap it? They're pushing their philosophy, but then if you say anything negative, they quickly say, we're Muslim. So you're criticizing our ideology. You're an Islamophobic. And we automatically, be careful. Let's back off. Let's not say anything at all. They're using that to be able to propagate, to gain control of our laws, of our legislatures, of our councils, and be able to impose what their ideology will be once they become elected, and all under the auspices that don't you dare speak out. Folks, if we don't speak out now, we won't get the opportunity to again. Trust me.
When you commit a crime, even the smallest petty crime, of which you're familiar with just general law enforcement, it consists really of two things: the intent and the crime itself, and the desire to suppress the person's ability to fight back. Is that not true?
And that is
correct. Is it any wonder that the same people propagating communism want to disarm victims from defending themselves while propagating poison into this country? Those two tend to go together. And the culture, the biggest way to suppress opposition is through censorship, is it not?
Correct.
Censoring or self-censoring one, not to be able to speak out. I guess the difference, because the more the Muslim ideology does propagate, the more they work to turn people against the Jewish people, a very small percentage of which I'm proudly a member. It's an ideology that we're fighting, not an ethnicity. Isn't that part of the of the distinction, which a lot of people seem not to be able to make? You can single out bad anybody. I mean, we don't usually say Jeffrey Dahmer was a Christian, so therefore they're all bad Christians. But we can fight against an ideology that says, if you don't believe as I believe, I'm going to kill you.
Exactly right, Karen. You're exactly right. And this is what is so critical. And this is where they're making such an advantage and such gain, is the fact that they have, you know, they're going after the Jews first, Judaism. And then, you know, they're you'll notice they've already begun to swamp in now Judaism, Christianity, one and the same. We're kind of shifting it over so that what they eventually want to do is there is only one, as far as they're concerned, one ideology that should exist, and that's Muslims. And quite frankly, if you don't agree with them, according to the Quran, you're an infidel, and your infidels are worthy of death.
Right.
That has to be called out. I mean, I know people get a little upset and a little touchy. Let's not talk about religion. We don't have any choice anymore. We are being put in a position. What you saw at Walmart, that was domestic terrorism. You're going to see a lot more of it when you take a look at the 120 cells that we know exist. Quite frankly, when you run the intel, the vast majority are jihadists, Islamic jihadists cells in this country. They're determined to destroy us. We have to take a stand now.
We appreciate your candor, Michael Letts. How do people find you on the internet?
They go to INVESTUSA.org. You can stay informed, support our officers.
Michael Letts, investusa.org. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to talking with you again. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're off and running with the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Power demand and load growth is not a future problem. It's happening today. And that's coming from a number of sources, including AI and data centers, reshoring and manufacturing, as well as electrification of the economy. That means we're going to need all the resources we can possibly gather in order to power the system today and going forward. That will include dispatchable resources like nuclear, natural gas, and even the existing coal fleet used in tandem with resources like wind, solar, and battery storage that are energy resources that need supplements from the dispatchable resources. In addition, it's important that policymakers shrink the delta between aspirational policy goals and operational realities of the electric system. In doing so, we can mitigate costs and empower the market to deliver least cost solutions for consumers. If you want more information about these issues and more issues involving energy, go to EPSA.org.
Self-care isn't just candles and bubble baths anymore. It's smart, techie tools that actually help you feel better. And I've got five Renfo picks that are all on sale for Prime Day. First, the mini thermal massage gun, compact, powerful, and the head heats up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit to melt away muscle tension and soreness anywhere on the go. For tired eyes, the Iris 1 and the Iris 3 eye massagers use heat, compression, and Bluetooth music. The Iris 3 even has voice control and a cooling gel mask to fight screen fatigue and puffiness. Then there's the smart tape measure. It connects to your phone and tracks 18 body measurements, so you can actually see your progress over time. And last but not least, the new Renfo Shiatsu foot massager. Total 360-degree compression, deep kneading, soothing heat, and it's even FSA, HSA eligible. They're all discounted right now for Prime Day on Amazon, so grab them before they're gone. Search Renfo on Amazon to snag deals nearly 50% off.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and we are delighted to have with us once again, Ken Abramowitz, founder of SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He's the author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. Ken Abramowitz, thanks for joining us once again on The Alan Nathan Show.
Pleasure to be with you.
Good to have you along. So, what a shock. What a shock. I am so shocked, Ken, that Iran is doubling down on refusing to end its nuclear program and readying itself for war with Israel. Who knew that that would happen? So where are we at now? And what do you think either what do you think Trump will do? How is this going to, the next step? Because there's always a next step. Iran has never not wanted to destroy Israel. So what happens next? Are you there? Okay. Well, that's the, we will get Ken back in just a second. That is, I guess, a rhetorical question, but I really do want to know the answer since that's what Ken's book, which hopefully we'll have time to talk to him about, the multi-front war on political Islam, which, by the way, we were just talking with Michael Lutz about. I am shocked, I guess I'm shocked when during the 12-day war, people thought that this would not come to pass again and that Iran learned its lesson somehow. When you have an agenda, here's Ken Abramowitz. Let me let Ken answer that question. Did you hear the question that I asked before we lost you?
Yes. Yeah, I think the paraphrasing the question is, why are evil people evil?
No, so. But you can answer that one if you want. The question is, what do you think? I mean, you can start with that, and then we'll take it from there.
The history of evil people is they don't stop being evil until they're stopped. In other words, they don't just wake up one day and say, you know, I've been evil, you know, all my life. It's terrible. I took over all these countries. I killed all these thousands of people. I'm really sorry. I want to be good. That doesn't happen. So evil people only stop when they're stopped. So it's up to Israel and America to basically stop Iran a second time. So before the year is over, I'll guess Israel will be attacking Iran.
Well,
be attacking Israel either way, but this will be the final round. We're in the seventh inning of the baseball game, and Iran and its leadership has to be destroyed.
What makes you think that we're in the final round? Yeah, sorry. What about this situation makes you think we're in the final round? Is it because they don't? We really were successful in. In getting rid of the nuclear capability, but they still have so much other capability. What do you think?
They have missiles. They have missiles. They have drones. And all of that has to be destroyed. I mean, those missiles and drones threaten 10 allies of America. So America can't be the leader of the free world and allow 10 of their allies, Israel being one of them, but also Saudi Arabia in the Emirates, be exposed to the missiles, even with conventional warheads by Iran. So I think President Trump stopped the war because he wanted to have negotiations. He'll soon realize that you don't negotiate with death cults, and then there'll be some excuse, and Israel will attack Iran again, and then Trump won't stop them.
Well, you know, I've never been a huge fan of Dana Perino, but I loved what she said right after the ceasefire, in which she said she thought that Trump pushed for the ceasefire prematurely. And I couldn't help but agree with her. I agree with her sometimes. And you went exactly where I was hoping you would go, which is, what do you think is the reason we are speculating why Trump pushed for a ceasefire so quickly? Was it so that he could tout the 12-day war, it's over? Because it wasn't really over.
Well, there's a couple of reasons that I can think of. I haven't seen them in the internet, so I only have to guess. One is that surrounding Trump, there's many of his advisors, let's just say a third of them, are America First advisors. One third are America alone, which we didn't vote for, and one third are just friends of his. So it could be after he listened to the America First advisors and blew up Iran, the America alone advisors came in and say, okay, that's it. We want nuclear weaponry destroyed, declare victory, let's get out of here. And then then he listened to the America Alone people. That's one theory I have. The other theory I have is that Qatar called up and said, look, save my Iran friends from regime change and death and destruction. And in return, I'll join the Abraham Accords. We'll get 10 other countries to join. It was all insincere, but he listened to it. He thought it was sincere and then called off the war. Those are my two guesses.
Well, so is there a time frame on this that you think? Again, I hate to ask you to make predictions because it was all, you know, we were all speculating and we continue to. But is there a time frame in which you think that this war is going to continue? Or seventh inning, as you put it?
Yes. The I would say certainly before the year is out, the calendar year is out. The reason I say that is Iran is rearming. I hear stories of China shipping in missiles. They probably still have some missile production capability. Israel can't stand by and just watch the amount of missiles grow and grow and grow because they're going to be shot at civilian areas in Israel and lead to dead Israelis. 30 Israelis died as a result of that 12-day war from Iran's indiscriminate attack of civilians, and about 1,500 were wounded. So Israel just can't sit back and watch more missiles be created and more missile launchers. So it's just a question of weeks or months, but certainly not before the not after this year that Israel have to go back and blow up the remaining missiles, drones, missile production, drone production. It just can't wait.
Yeah, it's and in the meantime, I wonder if you could speak to Ken Abramowitz. So interesting, and we were just getting started. Hope to have you on again. Tell everybody they can find you, follow you, and we will have you on again.
Whenever you want. SaveTheWest.com. Sign up. I write an article every 2 weeks. You'll get the article complimentary.
You betcha. Ken Abramowitz, thank you for joining us. SaveTheWest.com. Well, we're off and running, as I said, and we're going to tackle another big issue right after this on The Alan Nathan Show. We'll be back.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. Yes, that's the name. Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. I'm Karen Cataline, and we're happy to welcome co-founder of Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results in Georgia. He called upon his 40 years of experience in the IT field to examine electronic voting systems. Garland Favorito joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Garland. Good to have you along.
Well, hi, Karen. It's great to be on the show for the first time. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. Well, you're always welcome. And so tell us what's going on in Georgia. It is interesting, by the way, that, in fact, let me just set this up. Democrats apparently are still colluding with judges to keep allowing non-citizens to vote in U.S. elections. Well, it's interesting that we were not allowed to question elections in 2020, but look what happened in 2016. Are we seeing a pattern here of Democrats who only charge fraud when the other guy wins? What's happening with those judges?
Well, that's true, Karen. You're right. I mean, basically, unfortunately, you know, we've been in the election integrity business but we're a nonpartisan volunteer organization. But we've been doing it for 20 years. And as you kind of alluded to there, it depends on who wins and who loses as to the interest in election integrity. So in Georgia, in 2002, the Democrats believe they were cheated out of the gubernatorial and Senate races. I believe they were right, because based on back then, that's when we had the first direct recording electronic machines that were paperless and unverifiable. But then in 2020, when Donald Trump got cheated out of the election, suddenly the Democrats went quiet. So the Republicans woke up, and the Democrats went quiet.
I'm sorry. It's just so shocking, right? I'm so shocked. Anyway, I'm sorry for all the sarcasm. But it is amazing what short memories people have, you know? Every 4 years, their opinion changes, and nobody says, hey, wait a minute. That's not true. Some people do say. Go ahead.
Yeah. But to your question about what's happening in Georgia, so we are still trying to get the ballots from the 2020 election. We have, it's an unbelievable story. We have actually won a standing case in the Georgia Supreme Court. The judge originally tried to say that we couldn't look at the first of all, he was going to let us look at the ballots, then suddenly decided we had no standing. After 10 months, we've appealed that and won in the Georgia Supreme Court. They kicked the case back to Fulton County, the notorious epicenter of corruption here in Georgia. And the judges have been playing a shell game with our case, and we still haven't gotten to court. Fulton County here has spent millions of taxpayer dollars just trying to hide the ballots from subpoenas. And not only in our civil case, but in our criminal, there's a criminal case where Harrison Floyd subpoenaed the ballots. The state election board has subpoenaed the ballots. They have told the court that they have preserved the ballots. then they told me after we got the open records request law changed so that they could unseal them, they have told us, they said, told me that they don't have them. So I don't really believe them, but it's just a crazy shell game. We're still trying to cover up the 2020 election down here in Georgia, and we've got five active lawsuits at Voter GA to try to get rid of the voting system, to try to make elections completely transparent, to try to stop this outsourcing of our voter roll data to third parties like Salesforce, Eric, and Seer. So it's just an ongoing battle here, and we're hoping to get a little help from Trump's executive order soon.
Well, and this is circumstantial evidence, of course, but when you're trying to cover up what you did and claiming you were honest about it, I mean, who believes that, right? Who believes that a criminal isn't trying to cover up his misdeeds, and transparency is the willingness to say, I did nothing wrong? They only impose those kinds of things on everyday citizens when they want to control them, but they don't. People don't turn the other way and realize that they are guilty of the very thing that they accuse everyone else of.
Well, right, especially in the light of the fact that we have got six sworn affidavits from senior poll managers and audit monitors that they handled counterfeit ballots in the Fulton County hand count audit back in 2020. And the reason they know they were counterfeit was because they were mail-in ballots, but they weren't folded from being put in an envelope. They weren't on the correct paper stock. They were not marked with a writing instrument. They looked like they were marked with toner copy, and they were voted the same way down ballot for dozens of ballots in a row. In dozens of races and dozens of ballots. So it's pretty obvious that they're counterfeit ballots. But then, as you're saying, they still are trying to cover up the misdeed. And unfortunately, here's what's really bad, Karen. The judges are involved in this. It's the Fulton County judicial system that is protecting the Fulton County Election Board and as well as the Fulton County Clerk.
Well, and we've seen that in other states where they take over one large county, usually in the capital of a state or one of the biggest highly populated states, and they corrupt it. Have you been able to establish whether Soros money paid for any of these judges, and who's going after the judges, and how do you do that?
Right. Well, we've got Soros money paying for some, at least the district, some of the district attorneys. The district attorney here in Fulton was Soros funded, we believe, pretty obviously. You've got the Zuckerbucks through CTCL that they spent $400 million total in the United States, $45 million here in Georgia. Basically kind of buy the election with these unsecure outdoor drop boxes and partisan get-out-the-vote efforts. And then they even had complementary resources to try to take over the voting systems. It was all a huge scam here.
What do you mean complementary resources? What does that mean?
Well, technical resources. So in other words, what they did here in Fulton County, they operated they offered Fulton County free technical resources to help them compile their election results in 2020. And they used a group called the Elections Group, which was funded by Mark Zuckerberg, CTCL. They basically were pretty, according to our emails, responsible for the very dubious Fulton County election results that appear to have been electronically altered before the votes were certified here.
This is a kind of an aside question. I might be going down a rabbit hole here, but do you feel like Zuckerberg, when he kind of went and visited Trump and so forth, and he seems to be on the side, I can't really speculate too much, of whoever's in power, Is there any possibility, since any possibility that we could track back and say that your money was used fraudulently?
It certainly was used to influence the outcome of the election. Capital Research Center has a great report on that. We have that up on our website, on our VoterGA.org studies tab. There's another great report by Chief Justice Gableman out of Wisconsin, who was one of the first to reveal this. That's up on our VoterGA.org studies tab as well. But, I think some is cozy enough to Donald Trump to try to stay out of jail, because that's where I think he really belongs.
Really? Yeah, it is so interesting how all these multi-billionaires flocked down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring of the new president. It seems to me, at least, that this would be a window of opportunity. I don't trust these guys at all, but it might be a window of opportunity to enlist their help in tracking down where their money went. Just a thought. Tell us about once, well, we have to go. So, yes, do tell us how people can find you, Garland Favorito, at Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results in Georgia.
Yeah, it's VoterGA.org. We are an all-volunteer, nonpartisan organization. We are, my wife and I do not take salaries. We work full-time and just trying to restore elections integrity in Georgia and elsewhere.
Garland Favorito, thank you so much for joining us on the Alan Nathan Show. We will return after a quick break. It's the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is, a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode. We've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I taught college for 20 years, and I remember teaching a one evening class, and I was discussing a short story by Richard Wright, and I explained that this was written during his communist phase. He was actually in the Communist Party. So, you know, what I wanted to point out to them was that this was propaganda, because it was written to the specifications of the Communist Party line. And I just kind of went on, and I looked up, and about a third of the class had their hands raised. They wanted to know what communism was. They hadn't heard the word. And, and so they're easily fooled, and especially by, you know, someone who seems to be as charming as Mom Donnie. When you look at him, you know, he just has that great smile.
and he's going to, you know, lower rents in New York City, and he's going to have free bus fare, you know, if you want to take the bus, if you're not scared to death. But he's going to just, like, deliver all these great things. And, you know, so it's very enticing to, you know, young people, especially Generation Z, because they haven't been taught these things.
Well, and look at the gullibility of and the dumbing down of people in what used to be our greatest academic institutions, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, and being talked into the Jew hatred and the hatefulness that used to be wrapped in, oh, we're more tolerant than anyone else. Well, it's clear that communists have been working hard to dumb down our young people so that they would accept the siren song of communism, which our parents and grandparents fought mightily against. It really is heartbreaking. This is a tough question to ask you in our really very little short time left. What do you think is the best way to any kind of reality-based way to stop this? Otherwise, New York becomes London. And that's where London is at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. You know, Mom Donnie has only been a citizen for, what, 7 years? It took him a while to go, to go for a citizenship. It tells you where he's at. I don't know. Strip him of his citizenship. I is he an enemy of the people? I mean, we used to have the Smith Act. Bring back the Smith Act. Don't allow people who are communists to hold public office. People are going to say, oh, well, you know, that's part of the Red Scare, you know, just like my students used to sometimes because they were indoctrinated. They'd look at me kind of weird.
I hate to use that old slogan, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't after you.
Right, exactly.
And in this case, the Red Scare is scarier than ever. And it's odd to have to depend on Democrats to call, you know, the red flag on one of their own who, you know, there have been an awful lot of closet communists. POTUS 44, there's really no difference that I can see between Mamdani and POTUS 44, except that one was quiet about it and the other is open about it. Seems to be the case. We don't have much time left. How do people find you? And could you say a word? FDR was not the great guy that a lot of older women of the previous generation thought he was. Just say that and then tell everybody how they can find your book.
Yes, absolutely. He was not. And I focus on his early life, you know, what made him the man he was and how he had revealed himself actually at around the same age that Mom Donnie was when he addressed the Democratic Socialists of America. So it's available at marygraybar.com or any place books are sold.
Mary, can't wait to have you on again so we can talk more about FDR and the similarity between people who are disingenuous and they're not telling the truth about who they really are. That seems to be the theme. Thanks for joining us. Well, we're going to take
you.
A quick... My pleasure. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after the top of the hour for more of the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.